Well, 2020 took a lot of things away from us, didn't it? It removed a lot from us. It removed travel on holidays. It removed travel for work for me for a lot of things and replaced it with Zoom. At the start of the year, Zoom, ooh, Zoom, this is so cute. And by the end of the year, it's like a house guest who stayed way too long. And I've done about 800 Zoom meetings, and it's all been abominable. Weddings, family events, church meetings. All these things, add what it is to your list. What if in 2021, though, we were to add one thing to that list that would be removed from us? One more thing to remove from us in 2021, apart from those 5 kilos you gained over Christmas. What if God were removed from us in 2021? Would you miss him? What if there was a lockdown from God? What if there was a hard border put up between us and God? What if a 365-day quarantine in the Pan Pacific Hotel from God? You've seen the pictures of people coming in on a plane who, on the flight, are excited to see their relatives, and on the flight, they're told, actually, you've got 2 weeks lockdown. And they're going, yay! It's terrible, isn't it? What would a lockdown from God change for us? Would it devastate us? Or would life without God just simply become, you know, the new normal, as we've used the phrase this past year? Well, I mean, to be honest, life without God in Australia is pretty much the new normal, isn't it? In Australia at the moment, the 2016 census in Australia had a big campaign of no religion, and it gave people the opportunity to tick a box right at the top of the list of religions, no religion. And 900,000 more people did that than in 2011. And it's not as if 900,000 people who were in church in 2015, serving, praising, worshipping, suddenly stopped coming and suddenly gave up on Team Jesus. That's not what happened at all. It's not like 900,000 people suddenly disappeared from church. It's just that a whole bunch of people who had God removed from their lives already felt no need to say that they were sort of, you know, Anglican or Presbyterian or Catholic and tick the box on the census. They didn't feel the lack of God in their lives. They didn't feel being removed from God was something difficult or was even bad. In fact, it felt liberating. It felt free. And it's which religion? And they just went, yeah, nah. And just ticked no religion. And there's another census coming up this year in the 10th of August. Where will you be on the night of the 10th of August? Well, all things being equal, probably in your house, socially distancing. What's the bet that another 900,000 people extra could tick no religion? Because that's the trend we're going on. A lockdown from God doesn't seem to affect Australia too badly, does it? But would a 2021 lockdown or removal of God from your life change your life in any discernible way? Would you notice it? Would other people notice it in you? Gee, he hasn't got God in his life at the moment. Would people notice that? What would it change? Would it devastate you? Or would it be, yeah, no? Well, Psalm 42 begins with lockdown from God. God's absence from the life of the psalmist. And it's not, yeah, no. It's totally devastating. God's absence gets to the very core, the soul. These are songs for the soul of the writer. In fact, the word soul is mentioned 6 times in the psalm as the writer speaks to himself. Why are you cast down, O my soul? He's speaking to the guts of himself. Something deep is going on in his life, something deep. And we're going to look at it in 3 parts today. We're going to look at the parching absence or removal of God, the crushing presence of God, and the quenching deliverance of God. The parching absence, crushing presence, and quenching deliverance. First of all, the parching absence of God. Look at the first 2 verses. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now, if you're of a certain age, which I am, and you used to go to church, you remember singing a chorus about this, right? If you're not a Christian here today, you won't remember it, so you've been saved from this particular rigor. But if you were, and I'm a terrible singer, I prefer death by fire, but I'll give it a crack, right? You laugh. I have a stress dream where I'm on stage with a guitar, and I looking at, hello, Wisconsin, and then this, you know, and then I wake up in a sweater. Some people have, you know, I'm in their underpants doing exams that they haven't sat the unit for, but it's me, it's on stage. But that's what happens. And the picture we have, it's, you know, as the deer, you know that one? And you, the picture is Bambi frolicking through the glades, you know, like this, ooh, a flower, and a butterfly lands on Bambi's nose, and down at the, you know, that's the picture you get from that song, because it's nice and ditzy. The reality, what is the reality? There's a desperate, thirst-crazed antelope in a barren landscape that probably looks a bit like Derby. Just plucking a name out of the air. It's too late now. You're in. One last water hole, and they're going up to it. Is there anything in it? Is there anything in it? Because if there's not, we're dead. We're dead. That's the picture that opens Psalm 42. Not Bambi. Not Bambi. The writer is in lockdown from God, and that feels like death to him. That feels like death. And we know that because in verse 2, he qualifies it, my soul thirsts for God, but not just any God, not just any way of solving what life's about, for the living God, the one who isn't just living, but the one who gives life. Where can I go and meet with God? It's that desperation. I need something to drink. His soul pants. His soul thirsts. Without God, he realizes he is as good as dead. And it drives him. My tears have been my food day and night. Drives him to tears while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? And have a look at verse 10. As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Do you get the impression that God isn't around? And he feels it deep within him. Now, one of the most devastating consequences of COVID around the world was the number of people cut off from elderly and dying relatives, forced to look through glass at a loved one, unable to be with them, and people dying without ever being able to see them again. And that's the stuff that gets to your very soul, doesn't it? It disturbs you. And the writer is saying, that's exactly what it feels like for me to be cut off from God. That's the pain, that's the devastation of God's absence, of lockdown from God. Now that's painting the picture. But what if lockdown from God didn't feel so bad? I mean, I had to say, for the few weeks that we had lockdown in Perth, I kind of liked it. I kind of liked it. Because I didn't have to see anyone. Did I say that or think that? It felt like, whew, you know, I could just get on with being, and life is pretty good. The suburb we live in was pretty good. You could go for a walk. There were plenty of cafes that were sort of appropriately socially distanced down near the river. The dog was never so walked in its life. Everyone was happy and friendly from a distance. It felt great. And what if lockdown from God didn't feel so bad? What if it didn't feel too bad? What if his absence in your life, our lives, our church, didn't make that much of a difference? I mean, it's not bad in Perth. We're locked off from most of the rest of the country, indeed the world, but life's been fine. Christmas has been great, really, hasn't it? Christmas was pretty good compared to the pictures I saw from England of people I know who were like they're reenacting a Christmas carol with Ebenezer Scrooge sitting there with open windows to clear the COVID, 5 metres from each other eating thin gruel. But the beach was great, the pool was great, holidaying down south hasn't been banned yet. Better not be before next weekend. None of that happened. What's the urgency? It would be nice to get things back, but it's not necessary, is it? We're not in that much trouble. Life can tick along. Which, of course, begs the question, if we were in lockdown or God was absent from us in 2021, would you even notice? Would you even notice? Would it even matter? Would you be devastated? Would you be all that thirsty? That's probably the question, isn't it? Would you be all that thirsty if you could not drink from the well of God in 2021? Because it's tragically possible that life without God could be like lockdown in Perth. Pretty good. Pretty good. And perhaps the reason for that is that we're busy quenching our thirst somewhere else. Perhaps the reason our mind goes to Bambi in the glades of a nice forest taking a little drink is because there's so much else that's actually quenching our thirst. So we get to a stream of living water like Jesus and we go, oh, not that thirsty actually. I've had plenty to drink this week. I've been drinking at other fountains. Other things that give me satisfaction in life or things that slake my immediate thirst. And God's absence doesn't feel all that parching. When I look at my year and the things we're going to do and the achievements we're going to make and the places we're not going to go and all these things. Hello, Perth 2021. Why are our churches not packed? Because our beaches are. Life is good enough in Perth to be able to swing a long, long way into 2021 without ever feeling parched for God. Without ever feeling that His absence in our lives would kill us. And we Christians, if you're a Christian here today, we are not immune from that. And if you're not a Christian here today and you're hearing this, perhaps you're going, well, you know, I feel pretty good. I could be one of those 900,000 people who took no religion this year and things won't be so bad. Now, in the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, the prophet, we read these words about the people of God in his time who aren't really that thirsty for God. Jeremiah 2:13. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns or wells, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. And you go, only two sins? That ain't so bad. I've confessed a few more than two. Oh, hang on, let's see what they are. My people have committed two sins. There is a spring of living water over here called God. And there is a broken well over here that contains sand because it can't hold any water. And it's all the stuff that they've been looking for in life. Significance, pleasure, going their own way, sinning how they want without reference to God. And they're sucking on sand and going, yum, 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 yum. And there is a well of living water. Two sins. Forsake this, grab hold of that to replace it. A spring of living water sitting there that is available, life-giving, thirst-quenching, and free. And they go, yeah, no. I think I'll dig me a broken well that's full of sand, and I'll sit and suck on sand, and I won't be thirsty for God. How's that working out for you? So if you're not thirsty for God, if you don't feel the pang of His absence, or perhaps in 2020, He kind of just, is it, you know, if there was water in the fridge, you'd go and drink it, but otherwise you wanted something else. If you don't see Him as your source of life, then you will swing a long way into 2021 without feeling His absence. And here's a telltale sign of that. Let me just put some meat on the bones of that. If that's true, this will be an optional extra, what we're doing here today, gathering. You'll stop meeting with his people. That will become optional. And you go, oh, once every 3 weeks, that should about do it. Now contrast that with the psalmist. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Now, we don't know the context. It says that the sons of Korah wrote this psalm. But it could be King David, before he was king, who was having to flee the city of Jerusalem and couldn't meet with God's people. But this bloke, whoever it is cut off from God's house, God's people, who is God's house in the New Testament, and it's killing him. And I ask the question, would it kill you this year if you tailed off meeting with God's people? Would you go, gee, I used to love going up to meet with God's people. I used to love the way as a body we loved each other and served each other and shaped each other's lives. And I cannot meet with God's people. I'm so thirsty for God and his people. I must meet with them. Do you see, too, that it's not just God in the hour. Oh, I can worship God the way I want. No, it's God and his people. That's what, it's a package. Or is 2021 going to be another every third Sunday year for you because your thirst is being met by all that great stuff out there, all those vending machines of drink in our culture? Are you drinking out of broken well? Think about what that might be for you. Sucking on the sand of self-fulfillment, carving out a life and purpose that gives you the trio, the unholy trinity of comfort, ease and pleasure, which we worship. Would God's absence, a lockdown from him in 2021, change your plans all that much? And that's a question worth asking individually and as a church. The parching absence of God. Secondly, the crushing presence of God. The crushing presence of God. The psalmist is going, water, I want water, I want water. And God goes, water, I'll give you water. Deep calls to deep, at the roar of your waterfalls, all your breakers and waves have gone over me. You open the door to get a drink and it's flooded. Is that enough water for you? Says God. It's like a slapstick comedy, holding out a glass and a fire hose hits you in the face. That's what it feels like. See, the lockdown from God doesn't end with a trickle. It ends with a flood of God's crushing presence. At the same time that the psalmist feels God's absence, he conversely and ironically and paradoxically feels his crushing presence in his life overwhelming him. Now, there is something psychological and true about that feeling, that at the same time you can feel the absence of God that's just parching you, and at the same time feel under such pressure and crushing presence of God. What is going on, God? Why is your hand so heavy upon me in my life? God feeling present and absent at the same time. And the writer knows that God loves him. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life, in verse 8. But he flips it around and says in verse 9, but why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Has anyone ever felt like that? Or am I just by myself on this one? Tell me. It feels like the start of Charles Dickens' novel, A Tale of Two Cities. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. And you go, come on, Mr. Dickens, it can't be both. But it was, because that's what it feels like. If you've ever been in a place where you felt the crushing presence of God in what is going on in your life. And if you like your God all squared off and neat, a vending machine God where you put the money in, you pull the handle, push the button, and the goodies come out, then Psalm 42 is not for you. The God of the Bible may not be for you if that is what you want. You may want a small g God who, like lolly water, gives you the hit you need and the fix you need at the time you want it. But this God is completely different to that. And to add to the pressure, everyone is paying out on him. Verse 3, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? Verse 10, my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? The crushing presence of God and the cruel practice of people combine to make life hellish. Now, did you feel the crushing presence of God at any stage in 2020? Perhaps you did, personally, as a church. And we did as a church at Providence Midland. At short notice, as COVID lockdown began, our senior pastor quit. And then several families in our church suffered fearful blows, including one family losing three loved ones in quick succession, two to terrible accidental deaths. What did it feel like? I know. It felt like all your breakers and your waves going over us. And perhaps you felt that in your own life. I'm a bad swimmer, and I have been a couple of times in the ocean with friends who are good swimmers, and a wave comes through. These are great. Phew, at least there's another one. And it felt like that. God's waves and breakers sweeping over us. Yet the funny thing is, even in that setting, we have never been so aware of the Lord's love, never been more prayerful, and never sung with such painful joy. We thirsted for God as a community because we realized we had nothing else. What would we have done without his presence, even if it's in the midst of crushing circumstances? Don't be fooled by the let's get on with 2021 attitude of Australia now that 2020 is over. Don't be fooled by it yourself. Because we are going to be hit with a post-COVID mental health tsunami. We already are. The government has decided to give 20 Medicare-funded psych sessions to anyone in Australia who wants it. They doubled that in the space of a week, from 10 to 20. You cannot book a clinical psychologist and expect to get in within 6 weeks. Life looks pretty good rejecting the living water, but sucking on sand is starting to take its toll. Our community is drowning in mental health issues to the point where it's waves and breakers everywhere. And perhaps that's you this morning. Perhaps that's you. And perhaps you don't have a rock to cling to, a rock like our God. Don't hear me say that people trusting God don't suffer from mental health issues. That's exactly the point of the psalm. This, I'm torn apart. You know, I know he's there and he's my rock, but I'm still torn apart. But we have a rock to cling to, even as the waves and breakers are crashing over us. And if that's you this morning, my prayer is, as we have sung in those songs, cling to that rock. Cling to that rock as if your life depended on it, because it does. Even if it feels on one hand like he's forgotten you, that he isn't directing his love to you, that he has forgotten you, knowing on the other hand that he is still your living God. That's your hope this morning. And if you're not a Christian here today, this is the challenge. If you're tempted to tick no religion this year in the census, because who can believe in fairy stories, just look over your shoulder. There might be a wave coming. there might be a wave coming. Don't dismiss this God, who's more than a vending machine God, a slot machine. There's something deep and mysterious and worthy and worthwhile in this God, the crushing presence of God. Finally and briefly, the quenching deliverance of God. The quenching deliverance of God. See, Psalm 42 doesn't give a reason for the parching absence or crushing presence. It just says it is. I want a reason. I need to have a reason for God. No. This just says this is what is happening. And the writer casts themselves on the rock looking for salvation. Verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. See, this morning, there is hope in God, whoever you are here today. If you are parched by his absence and worn out, or you have been drinking from another naughty water source that you should not have been, and you feel guilty, or you've been crushed by his presence as one wave after another in 2020 has swept over you and you're going, what is going on? We have the hope of the psalmist made more certain. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. You see, we have a quenching deliverance available to us as the people of God on this side of the cross that the psalmist could only dream of. And it's so significant, isn't it, in the gospel stories that Jesus presents himself as water, as what we need to survive. He tells a story of a very irreligious Samaritan woman who's outside the covenant people of God. He tells her a story. We read the story of the woman coming to the well and Jesus offering living or flowing water that will quench forever. And he says, whoever comes to this well will thirst again. Let me assure you, whoever goes to any well other than Jesus will thirst again. Whoever goes to the broken cistern and sucks on sand will keep getting thirstier and thirstier and thirstier because those things cannot satisfy fully. And even if they do for 75 years, you'll die anyway. Living water to the irreligious Samaritan woman. And what does Jesus say to the most religious people of his day who have gathered, in John chapter 8, to the feast, the great feast where everyone's strutting around showing how religious they are and how much they do and blah, blah, blah. And he stands up on the last and greatest day of the feast in John 8 and says, whoever thirsts, come to me and drink. Drink. He's in the temple. And he says, the water will flow from me. And there's a passage in Ezekiel about a vision of the water flowing out of the temple, giving life to the world. And the most misquoted thing we've ever said about Jesus and water is, there's a river of life flowing out of me. No, Jesus says it's flowing out of me. He stands up in the temple on the last day of the feast and says, actually, I'm the temple. I'm the one where the water's coming from. Drink. Jesus resolves the tension found in this psalm and answers the deep soul question. Come to me. Come to me. How does it resolve it? First, on the cross of Jesus, Jesus experiences the parching absence of God for us. In the Gospels, we read that Jesus cries out on the cross, "I thirst, I thirst." The life-giving water guy thirsts. Does he get water? No. Bitter vinegar and myrrh in the heat and the flies of the cross. He thirsts for God's presence but calls out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's Passover. There's a festive throng in Jerusalem. Jesus, as God the Son, experienced that festive throng from eternity past, and now he is crucified outside the city, away from the people of God, like the psalmist in Psalm 42. Where is your God now? Come the taunts from the people walking past. Where is his God? He trusted God. Let God deliver him now, his foes mock. The psalmist writes this down, and it is colored in by Jesus. On the cross, Jesus experiences the parching absence of God for you. For you. And second, on the cross, Jesus experiences the crushing presence of God in a way that we have never been. Also for us. All God's waves and breakers roll over Jesus as our sin is judged on the cross. Surely he took up our infirmities, it says in Isaiah, and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him smitten by God and afflicted, pierced for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, cut off from the land of the living. The Lord's will was to crush him. Why? So that in his parching death, he might be water of life to you. So that in his abandonment, his lockdown from God, our lockdown from God could be a thing of the past and we could come into his presence forever. Whatever your experience today, whether you're feeling the parching absence of God or feeling the crushing presence of God, remember the Lord Jesus, parched and crushed for you. Where can I go and meet with God? Well, here's the good news. He has come to us in the person of his Son and filled us with his life and thirst-quenching Holy Spirit. The cross is God's guarantee that he is indeed our rock, that he is indeed our Savior, and that he is indeed not forgotten us. In the light of that, how could we forget him? How could we go into lockdown from God in 2021 and suck on sand? Why would you settle for that? Put your hope in God in 2021. Praise him, your Savior and your God.